Week one of college football is in the books, and we're here with Jacob Bunn along with the college football professor, as we are every year, to break down all things college football and to discuss the game as a whole. And professor, it's great to be back. First of all, isn't it great that college football has returned, our sport that we love here? We love following it and sizing it up from all angles, and it's good to be back with you, and it's good to have college football back.
Yes, it's kind of like walking out in the woods, and all of a sudden you got daylight. And we've been in the dark on college football for a while, and we're glad to be back and glad to see the teams really playing, and there was teams that played with a lot of passion this week. Didn't you think, Jacob?
I think so, and it's always neat to watch those teams. You talk about the passion. They get off to that start, and we have new teams. You have a prototype of what you think a team's going to be like, and we talk about it for 6 months in the off season. But then you get them out there, and you see them in action. You kind of see what you have, and I think that's one of the great things about the game is that opening weekend. I mean, that Thursday night, I know that last Thursday night, a lot of people were watching that Ohio State game with great interest. Now, when would you ever see some people watching an Ohio State and Indiana game with that great interest? But it was just they wanted to see what the teams look like. Well, it was a great week and a lot of drama. I'm going to ask you first, what was your big takeaway from week one in college football?
I would say the number of injuries of
really?
Key players,
okay.
Like Florida State's quarterback,
yeah.
Georgia's quarterback,
yeah.
Texas A&M's quarterback, And we can go on about other people other than quarterbacks, defensive players. So I think that we're going to have to let that shake out and see how that impacts things. But you know, Jacob, when we really look at college football, what we're looking for is the best team. And the best
yes.
team is the one that has the depth. They have people making different contributions. It's not just one star.
And we saw some of those stars go down, as you mentioned, DeAndre Francois, the quarterback for Florida, and Jacob Eason, quarterback for Georgia, and also several key defenders for Alabama went down as well. So let's start, we'll start with the conferences as a whole. Your thought on who, I mean, I know we probably overdo this, especially on the week one, but what conference kind of stood out to you as a whole? How did the SEC, you know, we have a lot mostly based here in the SEC, how did the SEC look? What was your thought?
Well, if you just take 1 week, you have to say that three of the Big Five were really good, mm-hmm. SEC, the Pac-12, and the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
They were all, I would have to say they were all impressive. I think that the Big 12 and the ACC had a lot to be desired,
yeah.
but they took on some very outstanding teams.
Well, and the Big 12 only played two Power 5 teams in their league. And, of course, Texas, new coach Tom Herman, they didn't look particularly strong in that game. So I would agree with you. I think the SEC and the Pac-12, I'd put them kind of overall. As we look at the SEC, I thought LSU, we'll just kind of go down big game by big game here and get your thoughts. I thought LSU looked pretty impressive, 27-0 over BYU.
I think there were if maybe two teams that really – were a lot stronger than I thought they would be. I think LSU, the way they beat BYU, they manhandled them,
mm-hmm.
and they just held them in check. And it was a very impressive win from what we think is a pretty good BYU team. And the other one, the surprise to me, was Cal beating North Carolina. You know, North Carolina's supposed to be, you know, with their new coach a couple years ago and supposed to be building, and this was going to be when they took a step forward. And Cal wasn't supposed to really do very much at all, and yet Cal beats North Carolina.
Definitely a disappointment for the Tar Heels, and they have another big game this week. They have Louisville that they really want to get a bounce back win there. It's going to be very difficult for them to do so. I thought a very disappointing thing in week one, Florida's offensive output, 192 total yards. They were beaten 33-17 by Michigan. Michigan's a good team. They have a very good defense. But I thought this was a very substandard performance for the Gators.
Do they have quicksand in Florida? Because they looked like they were in quicksand. And I have to give it to Michigan. They played with a lot more passion than did Florida.
Yeah, they really did. And you have to credit Coach Harbaugh and what they've done. Now, the question is, can they stay in as one of those contending teams? Last year we saw them upended late in the season. North Carolina State, a lot of people had them as maybe a championship contender. Not so much. South Carolina in Charlotte took them down 35-28.
I would say, Jacob, there were four teams in my own thinking that showed up. We wasn't expecting much from them, but they showed they might, I'm not talking about being a championship team, but that they showed themselves, they acquitted themselves very well, and that would be Kentucky, And when I say Kentucky, they beat Southern Miss. That's all. But Kentucky showed that they now can handle those games that they should handle. And Vanderbilt, who won, they beat Middle Tennessee State. Well, that's not a big deal, except, Vanderbilt couldn't even beat those kind of teams. And then, of course, South Carolina beat North Carolina State. And then I have to give a lot of credit to Maryland for coming up with a win like they did in their game.
They beat Texas, of course, as we mentioned earlier, in Tom Herman's debut as the Longhorns head coach. Sunday night, a big game, a big stage. 44-10 was the lead with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter for Texas A&M. They lose the game. How did that happen?
Well, I have to give that would be my rotten egg game of the week by Texas A&M. Texas A&M just simply did not know how to close the deal. They had plenty of opportunities. They could have run the clock. In fact, early in the game, they were really running all over them. Mm-hmm. Why did they start passing that with 7 or 8 minutes to go and stopping the clock with incomplete passes?
And I thought Coach Kevin Sumlin had insufficient answers after the game when he was asked about that. Really didn't act like he didn't know what was going on. Well, he should have. And that was just an incredible blunder there.
Jacob, what do you think about Liberty beating Baylor?
Well, I heard someone told me a joke today that I really can't take credit for. But Baylor said, "Give me Liberty," but they got death, and that was a great one. Tennessee on the Monday night Labor Day night game, they were able to beat Georgia Tech in a wild 2-overtime game, and Paul Johnson decided to go for 2, didn't make it, and Tennessee gets the victory. But if I'm a Vol fan, I'm a little nervous after that beginning. They should have beaten Georgia Tech better. Am I right?
Well, last year, if you remember, they had a mediocre season. They had a good season, in a sense, when you look at the whole. But look at how many times they had to escape. Here they are this year,
same thing. First game,
escaping.
Great point. We'll finish with Alabama and Florida State. That was the big headliner game. Everybody wanted to see that one. And as we mentioned, DeAndre Francois was knocked out, which kind of puts a damper on Florida State's season. We'll see if they can still win some games. But Alabama gets another victory, dominating style. It looks like the Crimson Tide just picked up where they left off right before they lost that championship game, right?
Well, Jacob, if you want to look at all the games, I have to call this the heavyweight match. This was the two heavyweights, and I mean literally slugging it out. And I'm not talking about with their fist. I'm talking about with great hits and that kind of thing. But I don't know if I've ever... We always talk about how a team victory, we say that so often, sometimes we don't really know what it means. But I think in Alabama's case, this was one of the greatest exhibitions of team victory that I've ever seen. Because it wasn't somebody dominating, wasn't a flashy player that doing this, but it was different players doing the things they needed to do, and they dominated a great team just by their team effort.
Absolutely. You have to give Alabama a lot of credit for that win. And I think that the Crimson Tide, obviously, are the front runners now, and we'll see what Florida State can do down the line. Well, let's look ahead to week two. Let's turn that page, and I'm going to give you 4 major matchups. There are 4 matchups that I think are going to be keys to the college football playoff this year, and I'm going to get your quick thoughts on each one of them. We'll start in South Bend, where an SEC team in Georgia is going to take to the road and travel to try to knock off Notre Dame in their home stadium. A great matchup here. If you look at helmets, Georgia versus Notre Dame, a classic kind of matchup. What do you see in this game, and does the winner have a really good playoff standing?
I think the winner will gain a lot of momentum. As far as I'm going to go, because these are, and when I say second tier, I don't mean second tier in the sense of being a second tier program, but when you're looking at championship teams, you're looking at Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State, those teams. So Notre Dame and Georgia is on that next tier trying to get up on that top level, okay? That's what they're trying to do. Now, Georgia Eason got injured, won't be playing. But Fromm came in, and it seems like he might have even been more prepared to play than even was Eason. So, but was that a flash in the pan? Jacob, don't you think it's best for us to hold off a little bit when we start talking about who's going to have a great year this year as far as individual players?
Sure.
Because one game, they can be a flash in the pan. It's those that consistently produce.
I think Texas A&M's had a quarterback a couple years ago named Kenny Hill, who we all thought was
going to
be...
You mean the Thrill?
The Kenny the Thrill Hill, and everybody thought he was going to be just great, and it ended up not to be that year. They really had a struggle of a year the rest of the way. How about another big one? This is an interconference game in the Pac-12. number 14 Stanford takes to the road to the Coliseum to play number 6 USC in a game that could set that league up. How do you see that one posturing as a national kind of game?
Well, I can't help but believe that Southern Cal had their eye on Stanford last week when they played. Now, when we look at them playing Western Michigan give them a game, we got to remember Western Michigan had a great year last year, so they got a lot of good players. That was not a cupcake they were playing. But Stanford, the way they won their game, I know they wasn't playing high-level competition, but they dominated. And I'm not so sure that Stanford, you know, Southern Cal was the darling of everybody before the year began, and are still, I guess. But I'm not so sure that Stanford is not somebody to really be contending
Interesting.
With.
Interesting. Could be a college football playoff contender there, says the professor, talking about the Cardinal. Number 13, Auburn is on the road at number 3, Clemson. This is a big one for both the SEC and the ACC. We talked about their contenders. I think you look at Auburn and Clemson, and they may be neck and neck and equal kind of in their each conference. Clemson, well, we thought they were going to be second tier. Now with Florida State with Francois's injury, maybe not. But Auburn, you know, I think everybody kind of thought they would be second to Alabama going into the year in the SEC. So my question to you is, who kind of needs to win this game? What are the scenarios for either team if they win or lose?
Well, I think Auburn needs to win it in order for them to legitimize themselves mm-hmm. as one of the powers of the, because let's face it, Clemson's already proven themselves.
Absolutely.
And so they are up on
well,
that level.
Well, they've proven themselves in the national stage, obviously, this year, a bit different. They have a new quarterback in Kelly Bryant, who we think is very good. But Kent State, you know, I mean, that right. was subservient competition there. So
well, but Auburn was playing
a Georgia Southern,
and this Georgia Southern team is not as good as they usually are.
Right.
So we haven't really seen anything. I think it's going to be a tremendous game. I kind of lean toward Clemson winning the game.
I do too. At home, it seems that this is going to be an uphill challenge for Auburn, but we've seen them pull it out, and if Stidham's the real deal and Auburn is a real contender this year, I think you'll see them go in and win this game. Number 5, Oklahoma is at number 2, Ohio State. This is the headliner of the weekend, of course. We had one last week with Alabama and Florida State. This is another top 5 showdown. This one's in Columbus. Last year, Ohio State just destroyed them in Norman. Does that happen again this year? And what do you think about both of these two teams as contenders? We got Lincoln Riley as a new coach at Oklahoma.
I would have to lean toward Ohio State in this game. Okay. However, I'm going to give a disclaimer here. You know, it was interesting. I even heard somebody say that Ohio State should be number 1 over Alabama because they beat Indiana when Alabama beat Florida State. I mean, if we're just measuring on that first game, it was kind of ridiculous, yeah. I thought. But I think Ohio State is the real deal. Okay. We'll find out if Oklahoma is the real deal. But now, remember this. Oklahoma has got a quarterback who knows how to put the team on his back and make a difference. He's a different maker type player.
He sure does know how to do that, and that is Baker Mayfield you're talking about. And I watched some of the game, the opener against UTEP the other day, this past Saturday with Oklahoma, and I was impressed with Oklahoma. Again, it's UTEP. It's not great competition. However, I'm just a little hesitant to put a lot of stock in Oklahoma with the coaching change. Maybe that's wrong. I don't know about you. But with Lincoln Riley coming in there and taking over that program and trying to get acclimated, and I think, you know, Bob Stoops had the way he ran that thing for, 15 years
right.
or so. I just think it may show up in a game like this that really Urban Meyer, you know, he's got a program that he's running up there, and I just don't know that Lincoln Riley's established himself yet.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that Tom Riley and Lincoln Herman are the two young coaches in
yeah.
the conference, and they're probably getting a little bit more accolade than they should be.
Think so?
Yes. I don't mean in the future, but I mean they're expected to right off the bat be on the level of an Urban Meyer, that kind of thing. That's just not going to happen.
It's not, and they're very young, and we'll see them mature and develop as coaches. I don't think it's fair to want to fire Tom Herman after the opening loss to Maryland, but also, as you said, it's not fair to make them out to be Coach of the Year when they really haven't coached anything yet. Well, it's going to be a fun week. Week 2 in college football. We'll be back with you next week, and we'll give you our thoughts on all the action that happened and give you some look-aheads to Week 3, which should also be interesting.